Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, getting you ready for Super Bowl weekend and the big game on Sunday. David Hanekin is a teaching instructor of strategic communication at Marquette University, former creative director and ad agency owner. Back in the day, I'll give you this personal story here. Dave and I worked together at Hoffman York and Compton, the agency was called then. Shared some duties around Yamaha water vehicles, the Wave Runner account. That was a lot of fun, Dave. We didn't get to do a Super Bowl ad together, but some of those photo shoots in Destin, Florida, that was a good time.
Oh, my God. That took you're taking me back. But yeah, I mean, that's the fun part of advertising, right? Some of these things related to your production and where you get to travel. And oh, man, those are fun days.
Yeah, without a doubt. So I want to talk about Super Bowl ads, obviously. This is a kind of a baseline question for you, but what makes a Super Bowl ad truly effective? What do you want the viewer to feel?
Well, certainly it's got to connect. The brand has to connect with the target audience, right? I mean, this stuff is still very academic, and as far as like what's the message you want people to take away? Who you got to know who your target audience is. The Super Bowl, though, like. It's weird because a lot of the rules get thrown out because you have half the country watching, you know?
Yeah.
So, there's an old expression in the business, like, should you, you know, why use a rifle when you can drop a nuclear bomb on and you can get everybody, you know? So, but if you're a brand and you have a very specific target audience that you want to reach, you know, you have to weigh these things out. Will it be effective? Will it work? And I think, The rule of thumb, I think, for Super Bowl advertising is, and this is a debate that happens every year, is it worth $8 million for 30 seconds?
Exactly.
And the rule of thumb that at least I've followed and I've learned over the years and having worked on Super Bowl spots, it's a really great opportunity if you are introducing a new product and or a new company, new advertiser.
Right. Because you have a huge audience and it's an easy way to blanket.
Right, right. Reintroducing a product is another way to utilize it. And of course, if you want to drive traffic to a website, for instance, I mean, there's examples of this all over the place. But I think, you know, one could say, well, what about a company like Ford? Okay.
Right.
So, we've all heard of Ford.
Exactly.
Why would they want to buy the Super Bowl? But in reality, if they're going to introduce a new truck, right, it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they're just going to run a generic branding ad, you know, I don't know if I'd advise it.
Well, you look at something like the Google Workspaces ad, and what I think is special about the Google effort and their media buying strategy is that no state is overlooked, right? They're a partner with local businesses. It's not necessarily about the Google brand. It's about, hey, how can we talk about our partners who are doing the work with our products? So it's a little bit more humane, maybe a better portrait of the people who are fueling the economy. Is that an approach that big companies take?
I think it's brilliant because if you think about, as I said earlier, you really, at the end of the day, a Super Bowl ad is no different than an ad that runs at any other time of the year. You, as a marketer, you want to make sure that the target audience relates to the ad. So if you're Google and you're going to find a local company, a local merchant, like who did you say?
It's Wisconsin Cheese Mart is the Wisconsin-based business that will be featured in their ad.
So you automatically, Google is automatically building that into the message and it's making people in this area. It's a very targeted ad. Everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, Google has isolated Wisconsin. This is awesome.
Yeah.
It's really great for us.
Yeah. In your agency days, how do companies measure the impact? Is it about brand recall? Is it impressions? Is it buzz? Is it call to action? Like, how do you ultimately, you're making an investment. How do you want to then review that investment?
So there's a couple of ways. One is the obvious is sales, but you know, or we refer to it as brand lift, right? A great way to measure it is website visits. you know, there are examples of brands that have, like, literally their websites crashed after running something on the Super Bowl. A lot of online chatter. I mean, everything leads to engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And the world of this Super Bowl ads has really changed since the amount of, you know, if you look at people who are, they're previewing, they're teasing ads. People are going online.
What are your thoughts on that? To roll out, do you preview the ads or don't you preview the ads? Should they run on social beforehand? Or is there kind of a hybrid model now that companies are looking at?
Yeah.
Yes, all the above. Yes. There's no wrong answer to how you want to showcase, right?
Really, it depends, because there's a lot of old school thinking out there that back in the day, it was like, oh my God, you protected your ad. Like, if that thing got out before Super Bowl Sunday, like, heads were rolling.
Right.
Right. And then people started to tease it out a little bit. You see it, like, last year, there was one of the more popular ads was with Michael Cera, the actor, for CeraVe. Now, they rolled that thing out with teasers a week ahead of time. There was 100 million views online of the teasers that they did. So when the spot finally airs during the Super Bowl, everybody's like, oh my God, everyone be quiet. This is great. I've seen this, or I've seen part of it. So there's a familiarity with it.
Yeah.
But other brands are like, nope, we're not doing it. We're going to just release
it. But at the same point, someone is always seeing that ad or that impression for the first time. And that, as a creative director, you have to keep in mind when you are putting together the ad. And when we come back, that's what I want to talk to you about. The creative process for putting together a Super Bowl ad, does that differ from a standard ad? We're talking with Dave Hanekin from Marquette University. The process, the creativity behind Super Bowl advertising. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Dave Hanekin. Dave is a teacher at Marquette University, former ad agency creative director. So, Dave, we're looking at kind of a record high of $8 million for Super Bowl ads for 30-second spots. Last year, we're looking at about $7 million. So, obviously, a huge investment from companies. What does the creative process look like to put an ad together?
So, honestly, it's not any different than any other campaign you're doing. You have to understand, like, okay, very technical things, very rudimentary things, like, how big is our budget? Can we afford, this director or that production company? And, oh, by the way, it's a Super Bowl, so should we get a celebrity? Everybody likes celebs, right? So those things all factor into it. Oftentimes, too, the Super Bowl ad is just 50%, half of it. You may have your campaign launch with a teaser ad the week before, then you have the Super Bowl ad, and then you go after that, you're doing some things that are, extensions of that particular message, but you're still, you want an idea that's strategically sound. A lot of times people make the mistake of just hiring a celebrity for celebrity's sake, and it's kind of it kind of depends on that person align with your brand.
I mean, to that point, what are some of the common mistakes that you've seen in Super Bowl ads through the years? Is it failing to kind of capture the moment that's happening in the greater economy, or what is it?
I think the mistake most people make is they think a celebrity is an idea. Right.
Okay.
And all that hiring a celebrity is all that really is an execution. So in the perfect world, if you're going to bring in a celebrity, and that always garners a lot of attention, at least make sure they align with your brand. So, for instance, if you're Corona beer and you have Snoop Dogg, it's like, OK, that's chill. He represents that lifestyle and that vibe. I think last year people remember Arnold Schwarzenegger for State Farm.
Yeah.
Like a good neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Like, there is no more fun way to put your tagline out there to the world. And this year I saw a teaser ad for Ritz Crackers, and they're doing something about, the people who are salty. and they're connecting it to salty actors. So they have Aubrey Plaza and Michael Shannon, and you know, and they're in the salt flats.
Uh-huh.
So people who are salty connect to the brand. But if you just hire somebody, a celebrity for a celebrity's sake, it's kind of a waste.
Right. You have to have the proper execution. This year, I saw Eugene Levy's trademark eyebrows are going to fly off for Little Caesars. You're going to have a tongue that's going to dance with Shania Twain for Nestle's Coffee Mate Cold Foam. And then I think, obviously, mayonnaise company Heilmann's has done a good job of promoting the Meg Ryan Billy Crystal reunion from When Harry Met Sally. Although that movie is from 1989.
Right.
So do you have to be generational in terms of how you look at from a demographic standpoint when you're putting together ads?
Well, let's stick with Heilmann's mayonnaise, that example with Harry Met Sally. That's a brand that people of all ages buy. So maybe if you didn't know, if you weren't familiar with that film and you saw the ad, you might say, oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
If you were familiar with the film, you'd be like, oh, that I remember that, right? And the punchline, of course, I'll have what she's having is in there. And
exactly.
We all saw it coming, right?
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean, it kind of depends. Again, it depends on every brand. But if you want to bring in celebrities and have some fun and people want to talk about this, another mistake people make is, and I've heard these stories about friends of mine who worked on Budweiser. Like back in the day when Budweiser ads were the best, in my opinion, they were so funny, especially the Bud Light stuff.
Super creative, on brand, talked about the product, but had that talkability factor.
And that was it. I mean, August Bush was famous for just approving things and hiring, green lighting ads just because he wanted people at the club, the polo grounds, the next day say, hey, I saw that ad in the Super Bowl. So sometimes there's a lot of analytics and a lot of data that goes into it, and other times it's just somebody going like, hey, that's funny, I want to run it.
Yeah. So what do you think we'll see for trends in creative this Sunday?
You know, I think it's going to be a lot of more of the same. There's going to be a lot of celebrities. Looking at that. I'm looking at people maybe even driving traffic to, you know, their websites or what have you.
AI, health and wellness in terms of the category?
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, here's just stepping back for a second. If you consider this, there's, okay, the three big, the largest group of advertisers are snack foods. Then you have beer, and then you have food products.
Right.
So, in effect, and you mentioned this up front, there are brands that can tie into that. So, for instance, if you are knowing that 1.5 billion wings are consumed during the Super Bowl, if you're Tyson Chicken or Wingstop, are you like, you got to plan ahead for this. Also, 1,200 calories on average are consumed just on junk food on that day.
Yeah.
So, if I'm an advertiser, I might run an ad for Planet. If I'm Planet Fitness, or if I'm Ozempic, or if I'm Weight Watchers, like, you know, you can connect your message to the lifestyle.
A lot of variables in the Super Bowl advertising space, for sure. Dave Hanekin from Marquette University, I appreciate your deep dive and insights this morning. Outdoor Living Unlimited, WTMJ News Time is 10:30. ABC News and local headlines are next.